Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. We begin the second half of our program here with Governor's Military Council Executive Director Perry Wiggins on the show. Perry, it's good to have you back.
Well, it's great to be back. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Lots of stuff going on here. One thing that we saw earlier in the week, Dave kind of alluded it to me here, was the Army-Navy game coming up this week. That's a big tradition here nationwide and something people always look forward to. But they're going to honor Fort Riley here during the game with the jerseys.
That's right. You know, go Army, beat Navy. You know, you can't you cannot get excited about the about this particular game, particularly this year, if you're from this region, because the Army decided in celebration of 100 years of World War One to have the 1st Infantry Division colors worn onto the field, which is incredible. But secondly, the 28th Infantry, which Black Lions. A lot of people have watched K-State University football, have seen the team come out with a Black Lion on its jersey. That's a partnership that K-State University has had with Fort Riley, and particularly that battalion. And that Black Lion is depicted on the Army's jersey as well on its shoulder. So really neat this year to see the Army celebrating what I personally think, and I'm parochial, the best division in the United States Army.
Dave, you have
you know, and we've been talking about this a lot, about how dynamic those uniforms are. And, you know, we were just having a conversation about some of the things that are available. And you know, some of the online shops, you know, they have a lot of Army stuff. There are Big Red One T-shirts that they have, but no jerseys. Those jerseys are just slick. And the helmets.
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
That's got to get you fired up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it goes back to the old Doughboy helmet.
Yeah.
You know, when you take a look at the patch on the front, that's indicative of what the soldiers wore back in World War One in the trenches.
Okay, so I've got a question for you. Name one player on the Army football team.
Name one player on the Army football team. That's a good one, because I don't know. Although they're 9-2, right?
They're 9-2.
They're 9-2, you know, and they're ranked for the first time.
They ran into a, you know, they almost beat Oklahoma.
I could have been, I could have said Smith. And see, I probably would have had a 90% chance of being right. Or Williams.
Or probably, Wilson or Wilson. Something like that.
But I didn't.
Miller.
No, I mean, you know, the bottom line for me, everybody's looked at those jerseys, and I'm sure, and you're right, you're absolutely right. Everybody's trying to figure out how to get a jersey like that because it's just a really cool-looking jersey. Now, John Kolaszewski is probably the luckiest guy on earth, him and Sergeant Major Bishop from the 1st Infantry Division, because they're going to get to run out in front of the team probably at the game as the division commander and Sergeant Major of the 1st Infantry Division. And I told his wife, Buffy, just the other night, I said, you know, if John doesn't come away with a jersey and a helmet, then, you know, he's really missed out. He needs to get one of those.
See, now, I collect the mini helmets.
Right.
I want one of those. I don't know if they'll ever do that or not. But, boy, that would be it. That would be a neat addition to my shelves of fame.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, well, that's going to be a lot of fun.
I think it will. You know, it's always a great game. And, you know, even though Army's 9-2, and I tell people this all the time, and it looks like sort of an overmatch this year in Army's favor, it never turns out that way. Any team can beat any other given team, especially in that game. And if Army doesn't come with its A game, Navy surely will be prepared. And I'm sure they've got some uniform with the, you know, blue angels flying across the chest or something. So they'll be equally as impressive on the field.
Yeah. I think it's also going to be fun to see. Oh, now I'm drawing a blank on my head. Duh. You see how, you know, this age thing.
Yeah, it's called age, yeah.
It's called age. But I understand that there are a couple of captains at Fort Riley that have been, that played on the Army football team.
Oh, I'm sure.
And we've got some contacts with them, try to get some perspective from them, too. So that'd be fun. So I've got Army by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope they beat them like 10.
Okay.
You know, when you get them down, just keep them down. But, yeah, so that's a great opportunity for folks to see the division recognized in a fashion that is rare, I think, personally. And I'm absolutely pleased to see the 1st Infantry Division so highly regarded.
Yeah, and those that don't know much about the Big Red One, what is their significance here in World War One?
Well, we were the first division. You know, in World War One, when the world needed United States of America and its best and brightest all joined this division with the big red one patch and went into Europe and basically saved the day for Europe. And it came at a high price. But that is the distinction of being the big red one on the sleeve, is it was the first. And so, in my opinion, it's one of the best divisions, United States Army. I had the privilege to command that division, and it's something that I will always hold dear. You know, everybody in the military is parochial toward their organizations and their units or their services. But in this particular case, if you're from the central Flint Hills of Texas or from Kansas, this division is your division, and it's something that ought to be very special and near and dear to your heart. And if you haven't visited Fort Riley, I know it's difficult, but you can get on the installation. You just have to go through certain procedures. Get an opportunity to go visit that museum and see the history of that of that particular organization, and you will realize that it is the most historic division we have in our Army.
I'll have to do that sometime. That's definitely on the bucket list for me here. Have you ever attended the Army-Navy game, by the way?
I have. I have, yeah, but just by virtue of 34 years in the military. I'm not a West Pointer, although if you wear the Army uniform, everybody just polarizes themselves to that service. You know, I'm a University of Georgia fan, and, of course, we were disappointed by Alabama. But when it comes to the Army-Navy game, all the guys that wear us Army above the left breastplate and all the Navy guys all pull for their team.
Yeah.
So. Yep.
It's going to be a great game this weekend. We'll look forward to that. Everybody in the country can get up for that. It starts at 2 o'clock Saturday at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. We'll be on CBS television. All right. You have some other topics here.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of people are interested in deployments. And, you know, the 1st Infantry Division, in my opinion, is going to be probably the busiest it's been in a long time. Although there's been a number of deployments at this particular time, it seems like everybody is deploying and going in different directions. And that's a challenge for the division, specifically for John Kulishevsky and Sergeant Major Bishop as these formations roll out the door. But, you know, for example, we have 1st Brigade, 1st Infantry Division that's going to deploy to Europe. And you say Europe, like a lot of times during the old reforgers, we'd go to Germany and they'd sit there and they'd do their training. Now, that's not the case anymore. The 1st Infantry Division, and particularly 1st Brigade, is going to go in there, and they're going to be in Poland. They're going to be in Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania. They're going to be all over Europe in a show of solidarity and a show of support for our NATO allies, particularly when you have an actor like Russia that's been acting the way they have. You know, there's nothing more powerful than the patch of the colors of the United States of America sitting on the right sleeve and that going into theater in the minds of our adversaries. So I think that's what 1st Brigade is going to be doing over in Europe. And then you have the Combat Aviation Brigade that's going to be going to Europe as well. And among other places, they're going to be going to Greece, which is something I haven't heard a whole lot of U.S. formations go to. And I'm sure Chris Black, the commander of the Combat Aviation Brigade, that's where he's going to try to plant his flag or his headquarters, although I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, they're busy as well. And then you have the Sustainment Brigade, which are the logisticians, the ones that do a lot of the heavy lifting. And they're going to be heading off to Afghanistan. They're going to do the entire theater logistical support for Afghanistan. That's an incredible, incredible challenge. But they're up to the task. And then you have 2nd Brigade. It's going to be training. You hear the artillery going on.
I have.
Everybody hears it. You know that, and I, everybody says, well, that's the sounds of freedom. No, really, it is necessary preparation to be prepared for the next fight. And in this case, they're going to go out to the National Training Center at Fort Irwin, California, and they're going to do some significant training in preparation for their follow-on missions. And then you have the division headquarters that's got some portion of it already in Poland. And then the rest of the division is going to prepare for what we call a warfighter, which is a major exercise for the division. They get a report card off of that. It's like, you know, your final exam. And so the division will be working hard to do that. So all I ask is the people here in the region have an understanding that we've got a lot of families that are going to be separated following the holiday seasons. That comes with a challenge and significant issues and things. Just be sensitive to the fact that we got a lot of servicemen and women that are going to be rolling out the door.
All right. We'll continue on here. We're going to take a break on In Focus. We'll have more with Governor's Military Council Executive Director Perry Wiggins when we return on News Radio KMAN.